Part 21, Chapter 6. Since Turl seemed to be working on other things than teleportation, which was the key to this entire dilemma, Johnny, for the time being, turned his attention to other things. He had not entirely lost hope of unraveling the Cyclo technology through the restoration and possible cooperation of the remaining Cyclos. If he could get the two pieces of metal out of the head of a trained Cyclo engineer, there was a possibility that some of these mysteries would be solved, and solved, they would leave them in better control of the planet's future. Dr. McKendrick had returned. One or two of the African base people had come down with a touch of what McKendrick said was malaria, carried by mosquitoes. McKendrick had procured cinchona bark from South America and had made them mop up standing pools of water in the base and put nets over the air intake vents, and all that seemed to be under control. McKendrick's three remaining Cyclo patients, two of whom were rated engineers, were not, however, so easily handled as the malaria. They were not getting well. They remained barely alive. The 33 live Cyclos from the American compound arrived in Africa without incident and were put in a prepared dorm section. They had been duly reported as lost at sea in a plane crash. But the doctor did not have much hope for it.
"I have tried every way I can think of,"
he told Johnny one evening in his underground African surgery,
"and one can't get through the intricate skull structure to the items without severely damaging it. Every Cyclo cadaver I have worked with so far plainly shows that critical skull bone joints would be very damaged and vital brain nerves would be severed. Those things were put into the soft skull of a newborn pup, and even within a few months the skull would have been hardened to a point where they could not be removed. I will go on working with Cyclo cadavers, but I cannot hold out any real hope."
Johnny wandered off from the conference, trying to think of some solution to that problem. It seemed these days he had a lot more problems than he had solutions. He felt that if he didn't come up with some solutions fairly soon, the human race might well be a write-off.
"Johnny?"
He heard his name called.
"Johnny?"
He was passing by one of the doors that housed the new Cyclo arrivals, and he stopped and went over. There was a small viewport and an intercom inset into the door panel. It was Chirk. He had never had anything against Chirk. A rattlebrain and dedicated to wrong conclusions though she might be, the times when he had seen her, they had not fought.
"Johnny,"
said Chirk,
"I just want to thank you for saving us."
Johnny realized somebody had been talking to the Cyclos. Maybe Donaldine.
"When I think of what that awful Turl planned to do, murder us all, you know, my fur crackles. I always thought you were kind of cute, Johnny. You know that. So I know you saved our lives."
Johnny said,
"You're welcome. Can I do anything for you?"
She looked pretty forlorn, really. No clothes but a wraparound. Fur all matted.
"No. Just thank you."
Johnny walked off and was halfway down the passage before the weirdness of it struck him. A Cyclo being thankful? Expressing appreciation? Not wanting something? Impossible. He had never had much to do with female Cyclos. They were not numerous in the company. But a grateful Cyclo? Never.